Hi guys, so this week's podcast is going to be the Boss Bitch edit, and I've got my friend Charlotte joining me today on Zoom, so you're going to have to just bear with me a little bit because I've never actually had a podcast guest on before, so hopefully it sounds great and not too shit. But we wanted to do this, and especially I wanted to get Charlotte on because the beauty industry is one of the worst affected during the global pandemic. I feel like it's been one of the industries that's been closed for the longest period of time. The grants have helped a lot of people, but sometimes it's not covered full rent and things like that. People have still been having to pay rent for spaces that haven't been used. Obviously, there's been no work, sat at home, bored, and it has really got the better of a lot of people. Charlotte somehow has got through this pandemic, and she has just announced that she's opening her very own salon. So Charlotte has thrived through this pandemic, and I wanted to get her on here today so she can share her tips with you guys of what she's found hard, what she has... She's just stayed motivated, and what the hell made her open a salon in the middle of a pandemic? Obviously, it was a very risky thing to do, but you get nowhere in life without taking risks. So I'm going to pass you on to Charlotte. She can introduce her salon, let you know the opening, where it is, and all the finer details. And then we're going to go through some questions I've been asked on Instagram. And also, I've put together some questions for Charlotte as well. I'm sure we'll share a few of our little stories in there as well. So I hope you enjoy. Hi everyone, and thanks Sophie for having me on your podcast. I'm absolutely so honoured that I'm your first guest. Yes, I've just opened my own salon. It's in Yeadon in Leeds. So I do semi-permanent makeup, and I have been in the industry for 6 years now. So I specialise in permanent brows, eyeliner and lips, and I also do scalp micropigmentation. So before you went into beauty, you actually worked in the Leeds Addiction Unit, dealing with people obviously that had problems with drugs and stuff like that. So what made you want to do the change from working in the Addiction Unit to boss bitching in the beauty industry?
I actually did beauty straight from school when I was 16. I worked in beauty. I worked in a salon in Guiseley since the age of 14 till 16. And I actually got made redundant from that job just overnight.
Did you get made redundant or did you get sacked?
I didn't get sacked. No, I didn't get sacked. I did get made redundant. The salon literally just closed overnight. And my sister was working at the Leeds Addiction Unit at the time. And she was like, oh, there's a job going on reception. So I just went for it. So it wasn't really my choice. I just needed a job and I wanted work like straight away. So I worked there for 5 years working for the NHS. And I did learn so much from working there. Honestly, I always kind of wanted to get back into the beauty industry, but I didn't really want to go into like a salon environment again. I wanted to set up my own business. And I just recently had my own brows done myself, and I thought, you know what? I can do this.
Yeah.
So I literally just took the risk, paid for the course, and went and did it.
So obviously you just went off and did a course then in semi-permanent makeup. So where did you train? Obviously, how did you afford to pay for the course and stuff? Because I know a lot of people that will be listening that really want to go out there and do something different. For example, somebody messaged me the other day and said that she was a teaching assistant, and she was like, I've done it for years, but I just don't like it anymore. And she said to me, how did you get into marketing? And I said, I've never been in marketing before. What I did was just put myself out there. I saw an opportunity come up and somebody said to me, I think you could do it. And I knew that I could do it because I am very creative with my work. I did say in a recent Instagram story, I think it was last week, that I actually left school at 15 years old. I barely scraped together any GCSEs. I did get accepted into college, which was Leeds College of Art and Design. And I dropped out after 6 weeks and I just worked full time. I think for me, I was just never academic whatsoever. I just cannot sit in a classroom and learn. That's just not who I am. I'm creative. I like to get stuck in there. I like to try things, fail, try again, fail, fail, fail until I find something that I'm good at. So when I saw the marketing job come up and they asked me for a proposal, I actually didn't even know what a proposal was. So I spent some time on YouTube, looked through how to create a proposal, downloaded PowerPoint, had a play around. It literally took me the whole day. I sat in David Lloyd for about 8 hours putting it together, sent it off, and I landed the job, a job that I've never done before. So people have come to me now and said, how did you make the switch? And I think it's just feeling brave, isn't it? It's being brave to put yourself out there, not being scared to fail. Like, I look at the first marketing campaign that I ever did for Stories Flooring, and I actually could be sick in my mouth. I thought it was fucking great, and I look, and it's a joke. Like, sorry, y'all. But now, like, my work's come on leaps and bounds because I just decided to fuck what anyone else thinks and just take a risk and actually follow my dreams and what I wanted to do. Obviously, I was at Tag before this, and that was another industry that was affected. So the way I see it is, I could have come out of hospital and thought, right, okay, well, the industry that I'm in has been really heavily affected, so I'm going to ride it out. But obviously, being a single parent to three kids, that just wasn't even an option for me. I had to put myself out there and try my best to try something completely different and thrive, because I didn't have another choice. So I do think as well, it's really good for girls listening to this, that they might think, okay, well, you worked at Leeds Addiction Unit for 5 years on reception because that was just a job that was convenient at the time. Yeah. And now you have your own salon that's just opened up. You've also won awards. What award did you win?
Yeah, semi-permanent makeup artist of the year in 2018 at the Makeup Awards. So that was like a huge like milestone for me, honestly. It was so unexpected.
And as well, like, just how good is that, just to be sat on reception in the Leeds Addiction Unit to then being stood up at this massive glamorous makeup and beauty awards claiming a prize for the best semi-permanent makeup artist? Like, obviously you believed in yourself, you took a massive leap of faith, and it has worked out. And obviously during the pandemic, your industry has been really heavily affected. And I think as well, personally, because for me, for example, I've worked the whole way through, so I can work from home. And although working from home isn't ideal at times, at least your mind is still occupied, you've got that routine. But obviously for you, you've just not been able to work at all, have you?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's been the first lockdown, I really, really struggled, because like I said, I've worked since the age of 14. I've always been in work. So for someone to say, oh, you can't go back to work, I was just like, what the hell do I do? Like, I would just woke up every day, no routine. I just completely lost like all sense of what I was doing. So I was just so determined, like, this time round to just keep motivated and stay on track.
So obviously, like, working in the addiction unit as well must be extremely rewarding to know that you are helping people. And obviously, like you say, a massive eye-opener, because unless you're actually put in the middle of that kind of situation, it's something that you don't even really realise is going on unless it affects your life. And obviously in a job like that, I know that you love your holidays, like you love going off to Ibiza and living life a little bit as well. So when you're working kind of in a job where you do work for somebody else, obviously you are bound by the 20 odd days holiday that you get a year and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think obviously, although the job was really rewarding for you and you spent a long time there, and imagine how many people you helped during that 5 years, like, obviously you've made a massive impact in other people's lives, which is great. So what made you just take the plunge one day and think, do you know what, I've kind of done what I've done here, I've really enjoyed it, I've helped people, that's been really rewarding for me, but now it's time for me to go and live my dreams, and this is what I want to do?
Yeah. So, yeah, like, obviously, I loved working for the Leeds Addiction Unit. I learned so, so much. And I am, like, quite a caring person. So, like, as much as it wasn't really the job for me, I did enjoy it in so many ways and I did learn so much.
And as well, I'm just going to say, when you said that you are a caring person, I thought it was amazing. So Charlotte actually offers, in fact, she'll tell you more about it because I don't know too much about it, but so you offer like the nipple reconstruction, don't you, for people with breast cancer for free as well, free of charge. So you can visit Charlotte if you've been affected by breast cancer. And what treatment is that, Charlotte? What do you do?
Yeah, so ladies that have been through breast reconstruction, obviously a lot of the time they do lose the nipple, so it's literally just tattooing the nipple on. So yeah, I do offer a free clinic once a month for ladies that have been through that to come and have their nipples tattooed, and it makes such a difference, honestly. I love doing that, honestly. It's the most rewarding thing about my job.
And like, I think as well, that definitely carries on, doesn't it, from how you are as a person, from working in the addiction unit, to then think, right, I've kind of done my time there. I've now gone off to do what I've wanted to do for myself. I've built a successful business. However, I'm still going to kind of give back to other people, and by offering this service for free. Like, how much would that cost usually from a different technician that charges for the treatment?
You can charge for it, but a lot of ladies, like the lady that I trained with, Kelly, she's absolutely amazing. She's won awards. She also offers it for free just because she loves doing it so much, and the reward is just, you know, that's the one thing that we can give back to a woman that's been through such a hard time. But it's about £300 usually. Yeah.
So I mean, £300 is so much money. So to be able to offer that service for free is absolutely amazing, and obviously like giving up your time for free as well, which is a really great thing to do. And obviously another treatment that I feel like makes a massive difference is the scalp pigmentation that you do, the like filling in of the hairline.
Yes, so I actually love this treatment so much, because it's not something that I post about very often. I think because obviously a lot of my clients are women.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like guys know that I do this, so it's something that I want to kind of promote a lot more. But yeah, so obviously guys that have lost their hair, and even ladies, like I do ladies' hairline.
Yeah, so obviously I know for us girls, like having your eyebrows tattooed just makes you feel great, because obviously you've done mine and I absolutely love my brows. I always say it's one of the best things that I've ever had done, because obviously it's long lasting, but if you know me as a person, day to day I don't wear makeup. Like, I'll wear makeup if I'm going somewhere, maybe if I'm doing like a bit of Instagram work or whatever, I will put my makeup on, but 9 times out of 10 I don't wear makeup. So when I go out to work every day, I literally just jump in the shower, put my hair up, and that's it. I'm good to go, and I actually feel great. I feel very, very confident without makeup. Like, I'll talk, obviously we're all guilty of using a little bit of an Instagram filter here and there, but I mean, we are. But I actually feel confident in talking to the camera, in being seen in my own skin. And I honestly think a massive part of that is to do with my brows, because after I had Isaiah, that's when I came and got them done, wasn't it? And I said, do you know what? I just needed something. Like, I just felt a bit shit. Obviously, after you've had a baby and stuff, your confidence is a little bit knocked, and it's kind of like, you know, when you go through a break, when you dye your hair a different colour, you want to kind of like reinvent yourself, don't you, a little bit? So I feel like I had Izzy, came for my brows done, and honestly, like, it's changed my face, because the shape that you've done, the method, like, Charlotte's really good. You might go in there and say, right, this is exactly what I want, but she will be honest with you and say, right, no, you're not having that. Like, this is what I think would suit your face better, because just imagine how many face shapes she sees every single day, the colours, the techniques. So it is really good to feel safe in somebody else's hands. And now I get a colour boost. In fact, I'm actually due my colour boost anytime now. So
yes, after lockdown.
After lockdown, this is my little glow up. I can't wait. So yeah, it's the brows for me have been fucking, well, like, life changing. And obviously now I've got like all my sisters, all my friends, like everybody now comes to you.
You've literally sent me so many clients
for brows. But then everybody's just as happy as what I am. And that's the thing. I feel like, really, you are good with your social media and stuff like that. So we will go on to this, because somebody's actually asked Charlotte a question of how she has kept her social media going throughout the pandemic, because obviously she's not tattooing right now. She doesn't really have like shitloads of content to be putting on there all the time.
Just to add to that, obviously, like, I think in lockdown as well, everyone, because we're not putting on makeup all the time, we can't go get our lashes done. You know, we can't get our hair done. Like, all my clients have said, like, how much just having the brows has made them feel so much better.
Because 1,000,000%.
Literally, you can wake up and, like, still feel semi, like, normal.
And even with the, like, going to the gym, working out and stuff like that, Like, I just feel like I just look so much better with my brows. Like, I can't even remember what I looked like without the brows. But
I know, I can't.
Yeah, I just remember being so much happier with having my brows tattooed. Even, like, obviously, when I do a full face of makeup now, it's so easy. I used to spend so long fucking about with my eyebrows, trying to get the right shape and using all these, like, different tools and stuff like that to make my brows look great. And one brow would be in fucking Leeds and one would be in Manchester. And it was just an absolute nightmare. So for me, it's so great having that template underneath as well, because now I literally just rush over with like a little micro pencil and I'm done in 3 seconds flat. It's a revelation.
And just to say, anyone that is thinking of having the brows done, like, obviously, like, techniques have changed so much now. Like, you're not going to get those old, like, blue, like, thick brows that are there for years. Like, the techniques these days are just so advanced, like, it's so natural.
Do you do microblading then, Charlotte, as well?
So I've trained in microblading. I get asked this all the time, but I personally, like, no judgment on anyone that does microblading, I just prefer the machine method, because it's, you can still create like super natural hair shots with the machine. And I just, it's not as painful. It's suitable for all skin types. Like, microblading is only suitable for people with, like, normal to dry skin. Like, if you've got oily skin, you're just not the right candidate for microblading.
And obviously, just going back to cancer as well, because we all know that I feel very strongly about cancer after just losing my dad to cancer. So in terms of, like, women as well, women that are undergoing chemotherapy and stuff like that, can you tattoo their eyebrows when they've lost all the hair?
Yes, I get a lot of
cancer patients,
and I actually offer them treatments half price if they've been through chemotherapy or any radiotherapy or anything like that. But yes, so as long as they just need to check with a consultant
and make sure
that the treatment's finished and everything. But yeah, that is probably about 30% of my clients are cancer patients, and that's why I love doing what I do.
Exactly, like, that just must be so rewarding as well.
It is,
and especially,
it really,
like,
is.
You say, do you, like, eyelashes and everything just falls out.
Yeah,
like,
eyelashes. So eyeliner, do a lot of eyeliner for people that have lost their eyelashes. Honestly, permanent makeup is, it's the way forward. It literally makes such a difference. Like, it's not, people think that it's such a big treatment, but it can be so subtle and natural. Like, I just love it.
Yeah, and I think as well, it's one of those things where you might think at first it's quite expensive, but the way I see it is you're paying out for the treatment, and then obviously you're getting your top up with that as well. And then it's like, you're just good to go.
Exactly. It lasts like, well, on an average, we say it lasts like 1 to 2 years, but it could be there for up to 5 years.
Oh, yeah,
but it'll just fade over time.
Yeah, I've not had mine topped up since it was when I came back from Australia, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like well over 12 months now since I've had mine topped up, and mine still look great.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have a freshen up just because I like mine obviously quite dark, so my hair's really dark, but
yeah,
my brows still look absolutely amazing. So I'm here for it, honey.
Yes, babe.
Is it all right?
Yeah.
So basically, somebody else asked the question of where we see ourselves in 5 years, which I think is a really good question. So for me personally, I don't have like a set roadmap of what I want to achieve in 5 years. Obviously, if you've listened to all my other podcasts, you'll have listened about my vision boards and things like that. And I always say the things that I put on my vision board, I visualize wanting to happen within the year.
She's the queen.
I am the queen.
And manifesting.
I'm fucking Matilda, and I scare myself. Like, the things...
Yeah, me.
Honestly, the things that I manifest and how fast the manifestation comes around, it's creepy. But the only reason why is because I truly believe it. I put it on the vision board. I look at it every day, and I honestly believe that it's already happened. It's not even a question of when it's happening or what's going on, how it's going to get there. It's like, no, this has happened, and I feel it, and it just comes around. Honestly, I wish I could talk about my latest manifestation, but I can't. I mean, we'll save it for another time. But honestly, I'm actually excited to share it with you because it's fucking really spooky. But yeah, so my 5-year plan. It's not like I just look for the 5-year plan. I'm just laughing because Charlotte's vaping and I can hear her in the background.
Oh,
She feels like we're just on like a FaceTime call, and you know, this is not going out to the fucking 10,000 people that listen to each podcast episode. So Charlotte's a little bit of a vapor, guys. We're working on that. But yeah, so my 5-year plan, it's hard for me to say, but all I can talk about is a feeling rather than what exactly I want to be doing. And I just want a feeling of freedom. And when I talk about money, I talk about money quite a lot in these podcasts. And it's only because these things have worked for me, trying to attract these sums of money. And it makes life easier. Money makes the world go round, unfortunately. It can be the root of all evil. And for me, it wouldn't be the status of being a millionaire. Like, I don't want to stand up and say, hey, I'm Sophie Watkins and I'm a millionaire. I don't give a shit about that. You all know that I do not give one shit about what people think about me. But what I do want is the freedom to just kind of get up and think, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to take the kids here for the week, or I'm going to go here and do this, and not be bound to feeling like I've got to.
Yeah, though, isn't it? Like,
definitely.
It's not, like, it's not about having loads and loads of money. It's just about having the freedom to do whatever you want.
Whenever you want to do it.
Whenever you want. And obviously money does help that.
Yeah, unfortunately it does. And yeah, so that's just kind of, for me, is whichever way the money's going to come in for me, I'm going to kind of water my plants and watch them flourish and just kind of dedicate my time and energy into the things that are benefiting me financially. And just, yeah, getting that freedom for my kids. And also, obviously, when the boys want to drive and when they want to do certain things, like, I would love to be able to do that for them. I don't see that as being spoiled. I just see that as
a helping hand.
Yeah, like a helping hand. Like, I want them to have not an easy life, because obviously they look at me going out to work every single day as a single parent and working really hard, and hopefully they'll feel like they want to be that person as well. But I do think it is nice that I would be able to reward my children by working so hard, because after all, that's what I'm obviously doing it for. So I know you, Charlotte, have mentioned a few times that you would love to see yourself in Dubai at some point. Yes,
so I am a bit different to you. I am very structured in everything I do. Like, I actually do have a 5-year plan.
Let's hear it then, Bobs.
Especially now I've started manifesting in Law of Attraction.
Yeah.
But we'll get on to that. So as I don't know, like, you, Sophie, you obviously know, like, I love Dubai. I absolutely just, I would move there tomorrow if I could. But now, especially after the pandemic and how it's hit us all, like, my 5-year plan would be, I would just love to have my own salon over there. I would never give up, like, working in England. Like, I love my friends and family too much, and my business that I've built in England is my baby, and I would never, like, want to leave, but, like, all my clients and everything. But in 5 years, I would just love to, like, be able to work in England and then work in Dubai at the same time.
So, obviously, you'll have seen on my Instagram, me and Charlotte actually went over to Dubai. So, I had a business trip because I've got shares in luxurylifestyle.me, which is a Dubai-based concierge company. And I went over there at the end of last year, and Charlotte came as well, because we thought, you know, we can discuss future business ideas and opportunities as well. So it was really nice for us to do that. We went to networking events and things like that, and it was just really good to kind of meet people that are very well connected in Dubai.
Yeah.
And we had a fucking whale of a time. Like, I am not joking. The flight on the
way,
I can't even explain it. So the flight on the way there, bear in mind, me and Charlotte are used to going to places like Ibiza together, which is what, 2 hours flight, something like that. So you don't really feel it, do you? So Dubai is a good 7.5-8 hours. So we got on the plane and we think, first of all, obviously it had been lockdown and stuff like that. So this was when lockdown was, it was over. However, certain things still wasn't open. So in the airport, pretty much nothing was open. So we sat in the airport, we've got a coffee and a sandwich.
No, I actually said to you, right, I'm not drinking on this flight because I want to get there and feel fresh. Like, let's be sensible. And
I was like, like, I've only ever been away without the kids, I think 3 times or something like that. So for me, you can imagine, I'm like, business trip Dubai. What is everyone calling it? The fucking drug dealer and stripper convention. So I'm thinking, come on, Dubai, bit of business, a little bit of pleasure. So we get there, there's no alcohol, fuming, get on the plane, there's alcohol. So I'm like, should we just have one little drink? The flight is 7.5 hours. We was drinking red wine.
From a plastic cup. Warm as well.
Warm for 7.5 hours straight.
So I don't even know what we were talking about.
We chatted shit the whole way. We didn't come up for air once until the guy was like, right, the plane's landing. We were like, what the fuck? fuck? Like, we've just done a fucking 8-hour flight. Oh, how much so red wine must we have drunk? Charlotte had cream trousers, and we were spilling this wine everywhere. The trousers looked like cow print tie-dyes. We got off. We couldn't get the fucking... Oh, honestly, we'll have to find the photos just so I can share it, because you all need to experience this.
Honestly.
We were trying to make friends with a couple that was going on a romantic weekend away to Dubai. We was like, come sit with us, babes, have a drink. And there was just...
Where are you going?
And they was looking at us like, what the fuck? We actually bumped into them one day and they was like, oh, you're the two piss girls from the plane. And
I was just like... I didn't even recognise who they were.
Because what would you know? We were pissed again. But Charlotte was even trying to grab the bags off the fucking conveyor belt that would come off. Like, my suitcase had popped open. My fucking knickers were halfway across Dubai Airport. Jesus Christ. Oh, it was an absolute time. And then we got God's little room. We got upgraded. And Charlotte, honestly, the funniest thing, kept ringing reception. And she was like, I just want to say, I am so... We talk about gratitude. I am so grateful for this upgrade. She must have told this woman on reception 50 fucking times. The woman was like, yeah, she was like, yeah, it's fine. Honestly, it's fine. Charlotte called, hey, just me from room 201 again. I just want to tell you one more time how grateful I am for this upgrade. Fucking hell. That holiday just went by within a blink of an eye, because although it was good for a bit of business and we kind of got our feet under the table there, we definitely had a lot of fun. So yes. I 100% want you to get a salon in Dubai. So
I'm working towards it, definitely.
100%. We actually had a really good... On the way back, we was a lot more sensible, I must say. And we sat and we had really good chats about business, didn't we? We both came back feeling really inspired, because I think the one thing about Dubai is everybody works hard. There's a lot of money going around in Dubai. And I think even when you sit in the nice restaurants and you eat the great food and drinks, and it is very expensive, but you kind of look at the world around you and you think, God, there's so much more to life than Leeds.
Yeah, exactly. There's just so many opportunities out there. And I think, like, it's just forever growing and expanding. And I just think it's... I just love it. I love it. I know it's not for everyone, but I love it.
Yeah, I love it as well. And I think, yeah, we just had a really good conversation on the way back. And I said to you, didn't I, like, what you're doing now is amazing, but you just don't even sometimes back yourself with how fucking great you are.
We'll get onto that, won't we? Because this is what I was, like, saying, though. The first lockdown, I feel like I'm a different person this time around, honestly. Like, since going to Dubai and then coming back and just having a word with myself... Like, if you'd have asked me to come on this podcast, what, even 2 months ago, what would I have said?
Right, how much have you cried to me in the past about doing Instagram Lives? Oh, I'm doing an Instagram Live and I don't do it. And I'm like, you fucking smashed it and you looked great. But it's just getting that confidence. Like, at first, the first time you do something, especially, I feel like it's the unknown. Yeah. It's the fear of maybe being judged. It's
That's what it was for me. I always overthink everything and think, oh... What if they think I'm an idiot? Or what if they think this? What if they think this? But now, I don't know if it's just come with, like, age. Like, I'm 30 this year. I don't know. Something's just clicked in my head.
Well, you just can't live your life for other people.
You can't. You've got to be, like, the main character in your own story.
Oh, I love that saying.
I think that's a Shazzy T special.
But... I know. But I just think that's the thing as well. Like, you've got to just let go of the fear of what other people think. Because fucking hell, we all see how the hate that I receive and stuff. And obviously, I've said in the past when I felt down and I felt vulnerable and things like that may have got to me. But I use in the my new favourite word, which I actually used in my last podcast, is unfuckable with. You get to a point in your life where you are unfuckable with. Yeah. So no matter what people think about you, no matter what people say or the rumours that they spread or whatever, you don't care, because you're unfuckable with, and their words can't even come close to you. And I can't help but think, anyone that would pass hate from a successful woman in business, it just comes from a place of hate and jealousy.
Definitely.
All we could do is hope that one day those people could listen to this podcast and think, actually, that was a bit stupid. Right, let's go out and I want to do better for myself.
Exactly, 100%.
And who would not want to be friends with us?
I don't know, we're fucking great.
Oh, we're so great. So I think we'll try and wrap this up soon as well, because obviously we just go off on a vengeance and we all know that I do this all the time anyway. But I think a massive thing why people love my podcast and the amount of messages that I get, which I appreciate so much, by the way, and also at the end of this podcast, I will put in Charlotte's business details. So that will go on the YouTube link, it'll be on the Spotify link, and I'll also put it on my Instagram when I share the podcast as well. So that will give you links to Charlotte's business page where you can actually book in directly with her at her new salon. Amazing. Which is going to open on what date, Charlotte?
We're opening, all being well, which I am fully positive it will be, the 12th of April.
The 12th of April. So you can actually use the online booking system and book an appointment with Charlotte. Do you do a consultation, Charlotte?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, literally, just contact me. I love speaking to people. Like, if anyone's got any questions, just ring me or message me and I'll answer them all.
And so I think a massive thing as well, so yeah, I've just gone off a little bit and just plugged Charlotte's little business there for her. But I think a massive thing is obviously backing yourself. So obviously my last podcast was called Back Yourself, Baby Girl, because I am massive on self-confidence, self-love, because what is the RuPaul Drag Race quote that you always...
You ain't gonna love yourself, how the hell are you gonna love somebody else?
Honestly, and I hear her saying that in my head so many times. And it's
true. It's true.
Like, if you, and I was thinking about this the other day, do you know how many times as a woman, because we've all done it, right? We're so mean, but how many times have you got ready for a night out and you feel like shit and you go out and it comes through in your aura, in how you carry yourself. The whole room knows that you feel like shit before you've even told anybody that you feel like shit, because it's the way you're carrying yourself. And how many times, because I've done it, and more often now than not, because I've practiced a lot of self-love, do you get ready and you think, fucking hell, I feel the girl today. And you go out and you get so much attention off everybody, and so many people will come to you and say, do you know what? You look really nice tonight. And it's because you feel great, and it shines from the inside out. People can get off on that energy. They can pick it up and they can feel that you're feeling great in yourself.
Exactly.
And it works just as strongly as when you feel good as when you feel bad. Like, so many times when I've gone out and I felt like shit, and I've not really had any compliments, or no one's really said anything nice to me, because I can feel it in my energy that I'm not carrying myself great. So I know you've had to work a lot on self-confidence, because you have doubted yourself, you have been a little bit anxious and overthought quite a lot. So how have you, you know, like, worked on yourself to get to a stage where you've now winning business awards and you've opened your own salon in the middle of a fucking pandemic? Boss bitch.
Thanks, babes. I touched on, like, the first lockdown, I really struggled. But this time, like, I've really just thought to myself, like, I can't be in that mindset any longer. Like, I wasn't helping myself. It's just the more negative you think, like, the more it attracts. It is, like, what you focus on is what you attract. It's as simple as that. So I just, like, literally shook myself and just thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I need to be, like, this is my time to shine now. Like,
yeah, and do you know what as well? I honestly think it's your circle. It's the people that you surround yourself with. And that's what quite a few people have messaged me in. All my messages always stay in confidence. I never share what people come to me. And I feel very grateful that strangers will come to me, because they feel like they know me from listening to my podcast. And I always think that's such an amazing thing to do. In fact, obviously, I did the podcast about Stephen Black, spiritual reading. And I know quite a few of you girls have gone and had readings from him now. And you're all saying the nicest things about me. Honestly, he tells me, and it really is, it's valued and appreciated. But I do think it starts with your circle. And I love the saying of, basically, you surround yourself with 5 millionaires, you'll become the sixth. You surround yourself with 5 intelligent people, you'll become the sixth. You surround yourself with 5 business people, you'll become the sixth.
That is so true.
You surround yourself with 5 divs, you'll become the sixth. Like, it's so true. Your energy is the people around you, and you should only allow access to your good energy to the people that deserve it. And also, you only need to be taking in the good energy as well. So sometimes, unfortunately, the people closest to us have quite a negative impact on our lives. And I think you need to, as you get older, you know exactly what you want in life, you know exactly what you don't want in life, and you need, how much do we big each other up? We need to get out of each other's assholes, to be honest, because...
But just to touch on that though as well, like, I see a lot of posts on Instagram, like, I've seen one today actually, and it's like something like, when you open a business, no one claps for you. Like the people that closest to you, like, it is so true. Like, the people you surround yourself, if they're not backing you and supporting you and believing in you, then
you need to get new friends.
Get rid of those people.
Yeah.
Because Like, I will always support my friends, and like, if they're doing well, then good for them. I want all my friends to smash lives. Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think even just when you actually heavily rely on things like social media, when that's really important for your work, even just a screenshot, a post, a little share of what you're doing, exactly. It means so much, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Even if one person saw that and used that service or bought something from you or passed on the word to even listen to my podcast, exactly. Like, that means so much, because that's one person that didn't know what I was doing that now does.
Yeah.
So I always say, it doesn't matter. Like, don't feel like you've got to have 1,000, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 followers to support your friend. Even if you've got 50 followers, that's 50 people that are seeing what your friend is doing.
But it makes you feel good that your friends are supporting you.
Oh, yeah. It makes you feel like they're proud, and they're proud to be your friend, and obviously they're proud of what you're doing. It's a really good feeling.
Like, just as well, touches on that, like, obviously I know loads of, like, semi-permanent makeup artists in Leeds, and I would call them all my friends. Like, I don't see anyone as competition. There's, like, enough work for everyone. Like, if I can't do someone, then I would send them elsewhere. And but I know, like, loads of other artists in Leeds that have done the same to me. Like, and we share, like, tips and knowledge. Like, that's what it should be about, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think as well, right now, more than ever, people need to be pulling together. Everybody's been affected in some way, shape or form by this pandemic. And we all just need to have more kindness in our heart. I've spoken about that in my last podcast, about empathy and just bigging each other up and supporting and empowering. That's what women are supposed to do. We're not supposed to tear each other down. No. We're supposed to stand together, stand proud, and empower one another, because honestly, when you get a group of powerful women that are friends in one room together, fucking hell. Honestly.
Best be scared.
It gives me goosebumps thinking about it, and I can proudly say that every single one of my friends is like that. Like, I honestly can.
Same.
So, yeah. So, anyway, guys, obviously this has been a little bit of a different podcast. I hope you enjoyed it.
I hope it made sense.
We've just rambled on a little bit. Hopefully it'll sound great when we've edited the clips and stuff like that. But I will share all of Charlotte's business information. She is opening on the 12th of April.
Yeah,
it's 12th of April. Salon's based in,
it's in Yeadon in Leeds.
You can book through the booking system.
I've on my Instagram page. Or, like I said, if you've got any questions, just DM me or ring me. Like, I'm not working, so...
Plus she's got the time.
Happy to help.
But. So, yeah, thank you guys for listening. So, I'm on Instagram at SophieWatkins7. Charlotte, what's your Instagram handle?
Charlotte Taylor PMU.
And please, if you are listening on Spotify, if you can share, if you can download, if you can tell a friend, if you've enjoyed it. Also, if you can subscribe to my YouTube channel. My next little goal is to get to 1,000 YouTube subscribers. So, I really, really do appreciate it if you could subscribe on YouTube. But anyway, guys, this has been Sophie Watkins Talks. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you, Charlotte, for coming on.
Thank you for having me.